Regular meeting of the Lyman Board of Selectmen. This meeting is a public proceeding and is being recorded. The agenda is subject to change without notice. Would you join me in a pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first thing we have on the schedule is meeting with Charter Communications, Shelley Lynchenbach. You have the floor.
Okay. I passed out little booklets, and I'm going to just run through them really quickly because the project's in the back. The first few pages just speaks about the company, how many customers we serve, how many employees we have, what our investments were, capital investments into the infrastructure. I just want to draw attention to page 4, where I put together what our packages and our fees are. We just had a change this morning, and I didn't get them changed in that spreadsheet. So where it's Spectrum Internet for 100 over 10, that actually should be 200 over 10. And then the last Spectrum Internet gig should be $114.99 instead of $134.99. And the installation fee should be $49.99, not $199.99. And we have promotional prices, too, that if we have packages with promotional, we always do promotional when we connect new areas as well. We do direct sales door-to-door as well. And those, I can break down. They're not on this, but I can break them down. The Spectrum Internet gig is $89.99 for a promotional. Then the next slide is just some what we have for our Spectrum Internet Assist, which is a lower cost for people that would like not to pay that much for it, that don't really need bandwidth, as you know, high bandwidth, that they could get 30 over 4 for $17.99 per month. And we also have participating in the ACP plan, which replaced the EBB. That closed. That was federal government that closed December 31st, and then the Affordable Connectivity Program, the ACP, replaced it. So we're taking part in that as well. That's $30 monthly benefits to eligible households. That next slide just talks about what the Spectrum Internet Assist is and who's eligible for that. That goes with free lunch programs and senior citizens, and it breaks it down on who's eligible. The next slide is, I have a bigger map, but the map shows the blue highlights, what we currently cable now. Our current network coverage as of December of 2020 was 2,148 homes in Lyman. The proposed project would cover 59 more unserved homes, and it will be the same extension of our fiber coax network that we provide now in town. So the project, this is broken down because it's right now it's in three projects. We can put these all into one, but we have it broken down by Brock Road. It has 7 passings. Walker Road, and it includes one house on South Waterboro on Brock. Walker Road also includes Old Woods Road, Bull Moose Lane, Cripple Creek Drive. There's 23 passings there. And then what we did was the town provided me like an 8-page spreadsheet of all the roads in town, and we had our coordinator write out all those roads, determined that most of them are already serviceable, but the ones that weren't were in that third project, the Lyman multi-project is what we called it, and the rest of those roads are listed there. There's 29 passings in that. So the total cost for the construction of these three projects would be $248,979 for a total of 59 homes passing. And what we've been working with, and what we can do also with the town, is we've been cost sharing the ARPA funds. So with the either the town ARPA funds that are available, working with the town as far as the company will put in a cost share for that. And then if you haven't already expended your ARPA funds, then that ARPA funds can go towards that. And what we're doing is working on, they're called broadband infrastructure agreements, BBI agreements. It's just an 8-page agreement that says what the project is, what the timeline is on building it, what area it's going to cover. And then after the construction's done, the agreement expires. So it's just a simple commitment of what we plan to do. So then the last three pages will give you the addresses. If you've had calls from customers or residents, so the Brock Road breaks down 6 addresses and one on South Waterboro Road. And checking with the coordinator, he thinks it might be one long drop that might not have been included in that cost. So we can include that if that's something that we want to make sure that everybody gets service.
Do you know what the road was?
It's on Brock. He told me it was...
Pleasant Point Road?
No, he said it was 380 Brock Road. So it's just a house that's on Brock Road, but it's quite a ways off the road.
Okay.
And he didn't believe that one was figured in because I have 25, 49, 80, 84, 193, and 224, which is the ball field and the park. And then he thought that there might have been just one long drop that wasn't calculated into the financial piece of this. But when we get to Walker Road, he believes that they were all added in because we looked at this project a couple years ago. So we think that we've captured all the addresses there, even the long drops, which would be over the 250-foot mark. If there's any missing, just let us know and we can recalculate that.
On the total project, you said that Charter would contribute towards that.
Yeah. What we do is it's broken down by the look at the project, and it's broken down by cost per passing. So if the town's interested in doing that, what I do is I take that back to our financial team and get a cost share for this project. And then I can send that on to the town and send along a VDI agreement at the same time.
Okay. Any questions from anybody?
Just if you correct the few things that are on here, is this something that we can link up and put it on the website?
Mm-hmm.
So that people can actually...
Yeah, I'd like to put the addresses up there so if anybody's missed, they can get back to us.
Yep, I can actually put them in one spreadsheet so it's easier if you want me to do that for those. Because right now they're into three projects, and that's just because we did Brock and Walker. Walker because we've had it for so long, and then we were asked to do Brock, and then we were asked again to look back at that list that the town provided. So that's why it's kind of broken down into three. But I can like make it one project. Send it along, so.
Please.
And that's to Jeanette, right?
So. That would be fine.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And on these, the time frame in the VBI agreement, and also on this slide, it's 12 to 18 months from the pole permitting attachment approvals. But generally, it would be within a year turnaround. The pole permitting takes the longest because it's the telephone company and the power company that own the poles. So when we attach, we need to get all the approvals, and if there's any make-ready, then make-ready has to be done too. So normally that takes them between 6 and 8 months, and then it usually just takes us a couple months after that to do the construction. So you're looking at a time frame of probably about a year once we can sign the agreement and move forward with the project.
Did you say that you missed the end of Davis Road?
Davis Road... I have 8 addresses, and they range in addresses of about,
317. Yeah.
So if that's not the true number of what you think are homes on Davis Road, it could be just that there's long drops that have been overlooked.
Yeah, there's at least 5 more homes past that last drop.
So is 317 not the last address?
Yeah, and there might even possibly be a 6, because that building lot's already been cut. So.
And those are homes?
Yes.
One lot?
Yes.
Okay.
I know, because those are the people that constantly call.
Okay, yep, I can have them take another look at that.
You can clearly see where the flag drop stops.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure.
That was easy.
Yeah. I'm not going to be a cop tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. That'd be awesome.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, what are you telling me? Andy, you're up.
Good night.
Good night, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Questions?
Answers?
We'll try.
I know the last meeting was kind of mixed up because there was a lot of people out sick. Mm-hmm. Can you just do a cursory go over what you have for a contract?
Sure. So this is, as we know, we've been doing 3-year contracts since I've been here, which is probably 15 years now. This is the updated one that's come to ground. So we are excited about partnering again and being your facilitator or manager of the park over the summers again. We have been working diligently, I'd say the last 6 years, really, I think, in a stronger partnership than ever with respects to trying to not only just be manager, you know, management for you guys, but also helping to facilitate other projects and improvements down in the park, adding some of our own resources to that and helping to make sure that our, you know, partnership, there's lots of transparencies in everything that we do, and that we have a good, solid communication. So we feel really positive about that aspect of our connection. I think that one of the things I mentioned at the budget meeting is I think we bring a strong partnership in the fact that we're not just coming there to help, you know, hire staff and manage Wash the Park. You know, that we bring in our resources. From our administrative team, from marketing to financial, of course, my leadership and the leadership of the staff that are there. So with that comes, I think, less worry on the city's behalf and in regards to worrying about risk management as much when it comes to your MIMIC and your OSHA regulations and insurances that we have to cover when it's talking about the staffing component to it. So that's all something that we've worked hard at trying to find the right people. You know, if we want to look at some of the things that we've done over the last 3 years or so, when it comes to helping with trail maintenance prior to Southern Forestry, we really worked hard at trying to help utilize our volunteer base and the ability to use the United Way Day of Caring, which is usually the first week of June every year, to bring a large group of volunteers, anywhere from 15 to 30 volunteers would come during those days to help us with prepping the property and getting things up and running and doing trail maintenance and cleanups. And sometimes it was painting projects, sometimes it was helping to, you know, rebuild picnic tables and things of that nature. Obviously, that didn't happen the last 2 years because those things did not occur with the volunteers because of the pandemic. We do also work on some of the projects. We've got a pretty solid facility team that's helped to just do some basic repairs when we're down there, and some a little more significant than others. One of those individuals is a Lyman resident, and has no problem of driving his tractor down the road a little bit and helping us with, doing some of the larger projects that we need to do. And some of those items are additional repairs and replacement of some of the playground equipment. We had that big apparatus that came in. It was, I don't know if it was donated or not, but, you know, that was our facility team helping to put that together. We built or restored two major bridges. In the park, The one going from the main picnic area over to the Pines. That bridge was just reinforced last year before the population really started using it, with some pretty significant large timbers and making sure that it's braced up. It was, the sides are starting to collapse and fall in, and that became a safety hazard. Also, the bridge going from the parking lot down towards the left of the trail system, which is where we've established the swim area that we use for the summer camp. There was the stream that runs down through there was 2 years ago, just flooded everything out and made it, the small bridge that was there was completely washed away. So we happen to have some pretty unique supplies sitting around in our yard from our construction and our expansion, and some pretty large poles that we use to bridge a gap and build a really significant bridge that you could probably drive a tractor over on now. And raised it up enough so that the water would flow under it rather than wash out the edges and the sides. If you've been there during those washout times, you know that spring thaw can really do a number on that space. Besides that, a lot of other work on the sand pits and volleyball courts and different things that you guys have helped to invest in. Our facility team has gone over to help with doing some of those items. So we feel that we bring more to the table than just a management team. We take pride in the work that we've done together. We take pride in the usage of the facility and hope that you guys feel the same way. So that's the basics of our contract and the what I think that we bring to the table.
So what do you have in mind for this year?
So this year, our contracts, obviously, the cost of staffing is the only piece that we need to really evaluate. We calculated that about 1,000 hours a person, and there's different positions. So there's the way that we work it is we split the day in half, and we have two individuals at each time, when possible. I can't say that that's 100% of the time because we've all had issues with staffing, but the nice part about when we're down, when I can shift somebody from the camp to the station that's needed. So there's never a gap. And I think that's the other piece that we bring to the table, is the extra resources and backups when needed, rather than having just one or two people signed up to cover those stations and then having to be out. So hiring costs right now, when we did our last contract, our basics was probably $12 for an assistant individual and then $14 to $15 for a lead person. That's now gone from $14 for the assistant and $16 to $18 to hire the lead person in. So we're looking at probably around a $4,000 difference in cost. There's 1,000 hours with $1 an hour is over the summer for each position is about 1,000 hours. So we're looking at about $4,000 difference. So we were hoping that that we'd be looking at an increase of $4,000 from the last contract to help cover the cost of the staffing.
My math is correct. Two people at 1,000 hours would be $8,000.
So two positions, but they're split. So
they're all split.
So $1,000 per position, but the positions are split. So there's 1,000 hours for four people over the summer. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I have the calculations if you want.
Yep. No.
Okay. Yeah.
No. So over last year, what are we looking at?
So last year,
the difference in the contract.
Last year, so make sure I understand your question. The difference in the contract.
The contract cost last year versus this year.
So last year was $37,000. So we'd be going to $41,000.
John,
How did we handle the hours? was an operation? Did we go dusk to dawn? Did we? How did we handle?
We were there about 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so there's actually 100 days of service that we provide between the weekends. When we first start in Memorial Day weekend, those are just weekends until school gets out, and then we're 5 or 7 days a week after that until Labor Day, and then we follow up, excuse me, with the week after Labor Day, just on the weekend. So the hours are around 9 to 7. Is what we've done in the past.
Because there was some discussion of those last late hours. There wasn't much traffic and I don't know if we adjusted. I don't remember.
We did adjust for that. At one point, we were going till 6.
Yeah.
And the city felt that it would be nice to have it a little bit later. Okay. So instead of opening earlier when we weren't seeing a lot of people, which was 8 o'clock, we decided to shift the day an hour.
Yeah. Sure.
And we looked at that because we were thinking that maybe sunset would be the great time to do it, but we weren't seeing enough people come. And sunset is in the early part of the summer. It's really early.
Yeah.
I mean, late.
Right,
and then by the time we get done, you know, it's an hour difference.
Sure.
So we just felt it would be easier
so that kind of
to not confuse people.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because I'm easily confused, so I'm sure others might be too. So that's approximately what we're doing time-wise.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Are we doing a lot of promotion on the Pine still
to
rent that out to groups?
Absolutely.
Because of your involvement with that, bookings and scheduling, because there were a few holes in that over the past. How have we tightened that up?
So what we've done, if you look at the numbers, the past 2 years. Last year was not a great year for groups.
Right, for the COVID.
For the COVID, because of the COVID. The year before that was a great year revenue-wise coming out of the gate because there were so many people wanting to get out and the park was really busy. So we, each year, have a list of all prior individuals, organizations that have utilized the Pines for rentals. Most of the rental on that size comes from day camps or other organizations that are operating during the summer, school groups sometimes, things like that. So that's where we used to get most of our regular rentals. Though they would be here during weekdays, which was great. And then we would have an occasional group, whether it was a family or an organization that wanted to rent the Pines for some sort of activity.
Have we looked at our price structure on that to make sure we're competitive? Yeah, because one of the issues for us as a town is we'd like to have that generate as much revenue as it could without handicapping anybody that wants to be there.
Yes.
So have we looked at that?
Yeah, it's a fine balance.
Right, I understand.
3 years ago, we did increase our rates. That was approved by the council.
Yeah.
And I sent the rates in. I don't think I have them. I think I have them on the top of my head. But for a season pass, it's $75.
Yeah.
For a season pass for non-residents. Residents are free. And all they have to do is just sign up to the pass as they are.
Yeah. I think that's... What I was thinking more was our groups and buses and stuff that use the Pines.
Mm-hmm.
That's your business. Recreation is your thing.
Yeah.
How do you feel about our rates on that?
I think with everything right now, honestly, with what I've had to do the last year budgeting for the organization, I've had to go up in most rates because in order for you to maintain the cost of operation, the biggest change is your staffing, and that's your biggest cost period. So all of our rates, if you like, when it comes to child care, camp rates, things like that, they all went up because they're the most staff-heavy programs that I have. So I would recommend evaluating that and making a determination of what to go up and how high.
Is there any appetite for the rest of the board to have Andy do that and send us his recommendations?
Yeah. Okay. we're happy to. I think right now we're around $200 for a group under, for a large group under 100 people. And then if there's more than 100 people, then we would be looking at how many more people and a per person extra charge. I think it's $3 a person extra.
Now, do we still do half day rentals?
I don't know that we've done half day rentals.
I don't know. It was discussed at one time, and I'm off the top.
Most of the people that are coming in between 10 and 2. So if somebody wanted to come back in afterwards, and they wanted a later activity, we would fit them in, absolutely.
Okay.
But we don't do half day rentals. I think the rate that we're charging is I think reasonable for whatever you decide to do when you take a look at the cost. So I would recommend that we at least go to maybe $2 to $2.50 per group, and then evaluate what the size of the groups that we've had coming in, and then maybe an additional, maybe it's $3 to $4 extra for people over 100 people. So
I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but I'd be interested in hearing any other suggestions you have for improvements, running revenue, or anything along with your other suggestions. I mean, I don't know where you guys are on that.
I agree.
Okay, super. So we can evaluate each of the categories.
Sure.
Right now, if E-Pass is $15, we can go to $20.
Yeah.
If that seems,
Do we break them down by how many people? Like, if somebody shows up alone, is it still
It's per car. And you can have a car up to 8 people in it.
Yeah.
After that, you're being charged. If you have a bigger van, you're getting charged the extra per person.
Right. And that per day rate is in line with similar facilities.
Yeah, if you look at state, organizations or state parks and things like that, that's not far off.
Yeah, do you get a lot of pushback from that?
I'm not at the gate, so I don't think we have gotten a lot of pushback. I think that people have become more understanding of, and especially how the park looks now and the usage and the activity level that they can have there. I think is worthy. I mean, you talk about $20 for a family to go for a day. You're not going very far in most places with that.
Right, I agree.
So I don't think $20 is unreasonable. And then we do veterans and seniors at 50%.
Perfect.
And a motorcycle, if you come in with just one person on a motorcycle, you're only charged the $10 rate.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then there's also a late day fee. So if you come in after 4 o'clock, there's also a reduced price.
Sure.
Had a price.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
So we can, if there's other fees that you think you want to consider, and I'm happy to, really that's your decision as a town, but we'll throw out the thoughts and the ideas and send them back this way.
Yeah, super, thank you.
There was some talk about some winter activities, possibly cross-country skiing.
Yeah.
Expand on that?
That hasn't really facilitated. I think with the last 2 years, we're in the process of evaluating that with some of the your rec department team, that really didn't facilitate it. So if that's still something that is of interest, that's going to take a little bit more work because you're going to need to kind of take a look at your trail system. And if you're going to have cross-country skiing, people can park across the street or park on the street, not necessarily should be with the tight corners there. If they wanted to use that as a cross-country skiing thing, we can market that. But it takes a lot of work to maintain the trail system in the winter. A lot of work. I'm a cross-country skier, so I'm really tuned into going out and being my own trail. But maybe just highlighting the fact that, especially with the outdoors activities that have been really expanded upon over the last 2 years, for people to know that they can go over there and snowshoe or cross-country ski on their own, that would be something that would be up to you as a town to make that decision whether you want to promote that or not. So that's not something that I think you want to try to man or have people over there watching, because I think then your costs are going to really start to go into a high, then you're going to have to start to charge for that. So maybe, and then you're talking about plowing your parking lot, having the gates open, you know, all those types of things.
We should probably plow the parking lot out of way.
Well, those are things that you as a town, you know, we can help with promoting it, you know, through our social media component and highlight that during the other time that that's something that's going on. And then you guys can feedback on that with marketing. But I think before going in that direction, the council should be considering the evaluation of that, whether you want to charge for that, and or whether you just want to try to have it as an open space, and then you're going to have to make sure that it's plowed and the gates are open. Yep. So it's an added cost for you guys on that end. Probably not much because it's plenty of space to move the snow, and I would just plow the upper part. I would go down the lower hill just around the building. With that also comes the fact that you've got people out there using the space without supervision. So, and you have buildings and you have other things that are there that are, you know, for the most part, I think are going to be safe, but it is another avenue of concern that you might want to evaluate. And there's no porta potties out there during the winter. We pull off, you know, we rent them for the season, and that's it. So if that's, you want to consider that also, because once you get people out there, and they're out there for an hour or two, sometimes it's 15 minutes, and they've got a nature problem. So, you want to consider the environmental factors of having something of that nature out there. No, but
how about the beach at Kennebunk Pond?
So the beach at Kennebunk Pond, when you guys reached out to us last year, was really out of our picture because we were having a hard enough time finding individuals just to cover the main, you know, the gate at Butternut. It is something that we can look at again. I think that, it depends on what you're looking for hours. I'm familiar with it. I'm not familiar of its usage. Would you be thinking of having it open during the same hours that you have Butternut? Or are you looking for supervision there from like a 10 to 4?
I think what I would like to see if we could work it out is if you can meet with the committee from there and talk it out and see what different options. They've come up with a lot of different ideas, and I think that would be a good place to start to see if there's anything that can be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So. Has anybody done any studies on like peak usage, like is, say, for example, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, is that when they're busiest? Because if that's when they would, say, if that's when they were busiest, we might be able to pull enough out of it to somewhat pay for somebody there. Mm-hmm. Even if we don't have anybody there when it's light, you know, say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you know, I don't know.
The peak areas are going to be the hot days.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Everybody
right.
Goes to the
right.
Beach. You
know? Peak would determine on weather.
Sure. Yes. Sure. It absolutely would. It's similar to Buckingham.
But we have no records on any of that.
No. Yeah, you're right. 3 days of rain and it's a Wednesday and it's 90. Everybody's gone.
Right. And so the other piece, too, that I think that might be a little different, and this, I know this is why you want to have it, man, is that I think that there's a different environment that has evolved over there with the use of alcohol and, you know, general roughhousing and litter and trash and all that kind of thing stuff. So, you know, I think that it is going to need some real clear signage and rules and regulations. And then once again, are you going to charge? You know, what kind of fees would you be charging for parking and usage there? It is, and as you know, there's not a lot of parking there for the number of people that are coming in and managing that. So I think there needs to be some, I think, more deeper discussion around, number one, what is it going to take to meet what your expectations are? What is that cost? And, you know, obviously, you know, just one person, you know, helping to just kind of be there. I can't remember if there's a small, you know, shaded building that people, you know, that the person that would be the gatekeeper, attendant, whatever you want to call that individual. There needs to be something there to help with keeping them out of the weather. And so I can't can't remember if there is something still off or not.
We'd have to do that.
Yeah, so there's another clause.
We were looking at that. Small buildings, so a person would be inside.
And once again, I'm guessing you have porta potties already are staffed.
Yeah, one or two.
And you're right, it might have to be. I'm looking, searching for a word, a little stronger person than you might have on the gate of Bungana.
Yeah,
and stronger, I mean, pick any...
No, just someone that's capable of handling the potential challenges that might arise there.
Yeah. So. And it's a heavy percentage of out-of-town there.
Okay.
Because, I believe most of our in-town go to Bungana.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can have a deeper discussion on that once again. You know, if you're looking at a similar time, you want a guard out there, you know, 7 days a week from, you know, early part of July to the end of August.
Yeah, you're 1,000 hours.
Maybe, well, it won't be quite 1,000, it might be 800.
But, you know, you're still looking, $16
you're looking at $16 an hour.
Yeah.
So, as part of that team. And what we would try to do is hire within that team, so whoever we're hiring for this contract, you know, maybe we're looking at a second leadership person that also backs us up. So,
yeah.
You know, buying it.
Are you looking to put forth some rates for 2 and 3 years?
Yeah, so right now, our last contract was an elevated rate because we knew that minimum wage was going up. So we were really able to calculate that. What I would be hesitant to do is to look at those rates now and say that, okay, yeah, we're going to keep it at $4,000, and then next year the economy goes even further into the labor issue, and we end up having to pay more per person. So maybe there's some sort of language that we put in there to evaluate, if you want to, you know, have an evaluation each year to see if those costs are going to be the same, and have a contingency plan for, you know, if the workforce and labor force forces us to pay even more. So I think that would be a fair way for me to evaluate that.
Just for a quick thumbnail figure, so I got it in my head, so I got a point. So if you're 800 times 16, you're what, 11,000, 12,000?
So you got that 16 just for the person, then you mark up a little bit more for all the related taxes and, you know.
20?
Probably 18.
18. All right. That's, I'm not holding you to it, just in my head.
I'm also doing the same thing.
Thank you.
Yeah. And knowing that it's Monday night and, with all that going day, so my math. Without my fingers and toes out, just don't line up sometimes.
Good.
Anything else we need to evaluate? Are you guys comfortable with the contract as it's written still? It worked for us last time. It's really just about the final numbers. Okay.
We will plug it in and see where we're at.
Okay, fantastic. Great. And so, just so I'm clear, you want me to go back to evaluate the possibility of supporting the Kennebunk Pond parking lot?
I would like, if you could meet with the committee for even an hour,
just
to get some input where the thought process is, because they've done a lot of footwork on it. And I think that would be, you might be able to add to that for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a particular time that they need?
No. I would have to give your phone number to Karen Kane.
Yeah.
If that would be okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, have them call myself.
Okay.
Andy, can you tell us how many groups you had at the Pines this year?
Pines were not very many. I think there might have been six, only a half a dozen. But years before that, there were, you know, if every week we had one or two park and rec group that came in, or another day camp, because we had camps coming from, you know, North Berwick, from Waterboro. We had them coming up from Wells occasionally. It was really starting to be seen as a really great place because of the picnic grove and the pines now being so well managed that they had their own space to go to. So those similar to ours, we're looking for ways to get the kids out of camp and get them an experience. And Bungana is an ideal place for that. So so I would think that we could probably, if things move back around the year before that, we were probably one or two a week during the weekdays.
So it really dropped because of last year?
Yeah, yeah. The year before that, the revenue that we got from the gate had a lot to do with you know, people just needing to get out, and they couldn't travel far, so everybody was local. And so there was a lot more revenue coming in from the gate for just general passes, seasonal passes, day passes, people coming up from visiting with family, and, you know, they would just come there for the day. And it was, you know, for them, the $20 or $15 at that point was really a reasonable way to get out and be outdoors, and but not have to worry about traveling to a place that might have been closed.
Thanks.
So we'll keep working on that this year. We're going to try to push it again and see how the camps are.
Good deal.
Super.
Thank you very much.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That wasn't so bad.
No, you guys are easy. We worked out most of the kinks over the years, so it really becomes a very fun, enjoyable meeting. So
good.
Appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen.
Okay, we're going to be in the public input time, so you can have 5 minutes to have some input. Does anybody like to speak? Brian.
Brian Dulong. I asked a question at the select board meeting on 2/22/22. Instead of an answer to the question, I and the people of this town got a chairman of the board mumbling and tapping the vice chair under the table to motion that the meeting come to a close. I emailed this question to the select board and did not get a reply. I also sent this in as a formal complaint. I'm looking for an answer to my question pertaining to the Ordinance Review Committee appointments. My question was, if the hiring committee recommended the 3 applicants for the Ordinance Review Committee, why is the select board denying 2 of the applicants? From what I've been hearing at the meetings, the town has been looking for people to step up and fill these roles. Why then are the people being denied a chance to serve the town when approved by the hiring committee? Furthermore, to my knowledge, the hiring committee has never been used in the past for volunteer applicants, only paid employees. Why were they asked this time? Also, to my knowledge, there's never been a vote of the selectmen to change the procedure for considering volunteers. Who authorized this authorized using the volunteers on the hiring committee to interview the volunteer applicants? This is not only a violation of the charter and Maine law, but inconsiderate waste of the hiring committee's time. Again, to my knowledge, the selectmen have never voted against the recommendations of the hiring committee in the past. Why did they this time?
Anybody else have input?
Yeah, I got a minority report.
Seriously.
In the meeting of February 22nd, 2022, I was a minority of 1 on 3 votes. I'm taking this opportunity to present my formal minority report as Section 306B of the Town Charter allows. That section also states that this shall be recorded in the minutes of the meeting. This board was presented with 3 applicants to fill openings on the Ordinance Review Committee. All 3 were recommended by the Hiring Committee. That's why I moved to accept all at once. None of you seconded my motion. You 4 selectmen voted yes on 1 person who I voted against, although the hiring committee approved of him. I have dealt with him in the past, and along with the rest of the select board at the time. I found him to be unprofessional and disruptive in his actions and attitude. He brought unsubstantiated charges against the town before Maine Human Rights Commission, and it cost the town thousands in attorney fees plus a cash payoff. I do not want to repeat that. You know all about this and still proposed and voted for him. Why? Did you really think it was in the best interest of the town to have him on this committee? This is all public information that can be found on the internet with a Google search. The Portland Press Herald reprinted and archived an article first reported in Journal Tribune, March 33rd, 2015, and the Human Rights Commission meeting minutes are also available. The payment by the town is available by a FOIA request. Why did the hiring committee recommend him? Was this information withheld from them, or were they informed and not concerned? Who are the members of the hiring committee? They are not listed anywhere on the town's website. I'd like to talk to them. Next, the three of you voted no, and Dave abstained from voting on the other two applicants. You refused to state your reasons when asked. In my opinion, you're retaliating against those townspeople because they have been critical of some of the statements and actions you have made as selectmen of their town. We have two other qualified applicants who are on the committee resigned and are now off the committee due to a technicality. You refuse to talk about this situation. Why is that? Does another elected official have a certain selectman's ear? This is not the first time I felt compelled to give a minority report. On November 30th, 2021, I rebuked the four of you for the arrogant, self-serving way you conduct business and treat certain employees and townspeople who challenge and disagree with you. You again continue to abuse your position as selectman to carry out personal vendettas. You four continue to violate our town charter, Section 306B, by secretly coordinated votes. Bill Single, you personally violated the same section by instructing the town attorney to send a letter to four townspeople forbidding them to talk to the CEO. You did this on your own without a formal majority vote of the select board in a properly noticed meeting. You violated Charter Section 305, Number 11, by removing volunteers from committees without charges and denying them the hearings they were entitled to, subject to the town's personnel policy. That personnel policy in Article 8.1 through 8.3 details the list of reasons and disciplinary action and processes that it be followed to warn, reprimand, suspend, and finally dismiss employees and volunteers. It also details their rights to a fair hearing when they may respond to their charges. We did none of these. In many executive sessions I have attended, you violated one MSRA 13405 by discussing matters other than those identified in the motion to go into that particular executive session. You also violated that main law by discussing and or investigating people who are not permitted to be present or given the choice to request the discussion be conducted in open session. You further violated that statute when the request was made by me. You did not honor it. You belittled employees and townspeople in public meetings, overspent your budgets, and withheld documents that the FOIA laws state must be available to the public. You encouraged employees to bring unsubstantiated charges against me and others in order to sway public opinion and win the last election for Tom and Rusty. Your actions are subjected to undue public humiliation and cost the town thousands of dollars. I spent hundreds of dollars to hire an attorney to get access to the documents I was entitled to and needed to clear my name. Then when I did, you publicly censured me and removed me from the fire commission. Did you know that the town charter section 307B2 states persons shall forfeit the office of selectman if they intentionally violate any provision of this charter? Bill Single, you are responsible for directing this board in this unlawful behavior. David Alves and Tom Hatch, you each had campaign signs with words like honesty, transparency, integrity. Where did those virtues go? That's right, I don't remember seeing courage. Rusty Blackington, I thought you were a trustworthy man of good character. What happened to you? You've all violated your oaths of office. In my opinion, your silence and secrecy sound like corruption and cover-up. You are a disgrace and an embarrassment to this town and the townspeople that voted for you.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? Yes.
I have a letter that I'm going to read so that I stay on point. Dear Select Board, and I'll give a copy to Donna for the minutes. Dear Select Board, my name is Jessica Pickard, and I reside at 217 Huff Road. Over the past 2 years, I've become more involved in our town by attending Select Board meetings, volunteering as a member of the Town Hiring Committee, and serving as a member of the current Town Charter Commission. I am putting this letter together to share and document some concerns that I have with two significant items that have taken place within the last 6 months. My first concern is that at the August 10th, 2021 board meeting, there was a discussion about possibly paying out vacation balances for two town employees. After this meeting, I submitted a Freedom of Access request inquiring about the details of this. I received a response that, quote, no document, unquote, was available. I re-inquired, citing the State of Maine Freedom of Access Act that doesn't require a response to be actual documents, and despite multiple follow-ups, have still not officially received any information. What concerns me about this is the disregard of FOIA requests. Also, after digging through minutes, I discovered that there was an approval of payment for these vacation balances at the next meeting, and because there has been no reply to my inquiry, I can only assume that there is no budget to cover payments that total over $10,000. These payments also directly contradict the town's own personnel policy. More specifically, one, town employees earn PTO at the same rate, regardless of whether they are exempt or non-exempt. Two, per the personnel policy, town employees can carry forward up to 200 hours into a new fiscal year. Quote, employees are responsible for monitoring and taking their PTO over the course of a year so that they do not lose time accrued when the current fiscal year ends, end quote. The balance is included in the minutes from the August 16, 2021 meeting where the payment was approved, include balances of less than 200 hours for each of the employees. Three, there has been prior mention of town employees, quote, comping, unquote, time. There is no policy for this or mention within the current personnel policy. I have been unable to find where board votes were taken to approve comp time in lieu of overtime. If this is indeed a current practice, it has the potential to create significant liability for the town. Next is my second concern. I am currently a member of the town's hiring committee, and we were recently asked to interview three candidates for the ordinance review committee. Our five-person committee took the time to interview and unanimously recommended all three candidates for this volunteer committee. After watching the February 22, 2022 select board meeting, I learned that only one out of the three candidates we recommended were accepted for the committee. The hiring committee has been given no feedback and no criteria to work with moving forward. Instead, we have now been asked what our availability is to interview two additional volunteer applicants. I understand that not all of our recommendations will be accepted, but feel it's appropriate to provide some explanation to our committee before proceeding to commit our time to additional applicants, since one, these positions are volunteer, two, these positions have zero decision-making authority, and three, the board already has full authority to appoint volunteers without using the hiring committee. I was in favor of our committee being used to interview for all positions with the town so that there was a fair and consistent process, but this doesn't appear to be the case. I have tried to address both of these items via direct communication with the board to no avail, which has led me to document and share in this public forum. Both of these concerns I raise highlight what I perceive to be a waste of our town's time and resources. Unnecessary tax dollars are being spent on payments that contradict a written personnel policy, and unnecessary time having committees do work that would appear to be unnecessary since our recommendations and requests for information have been ignored. I enjoy the time I spend volunteering for the town. I have met many wonderful people and feel my skills have been put to good use. I have faith that we can all continue to work together towards solutions that better our town's operations, but there must be increased transparency and greater respect for the taxpaying citizens that are willing to volunteer their time and willing to ask questions. I thank you all for the time that you commit to our town, and I look forward to positive solutions.
Thank you. Thank you, Jessica. Anybody else? Yes.
Carol Bakeroo, Mass Road. I also serve on the hiring committee, and Jessica just said most of what I wanted to say, but I guess if I had one other suggestion or request, it would be to clarify how these openings are posted. I'm very unclear on how people knew there were openings on the ordinance review committee. When we received the email asking us to review applicants, I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was an opening. And I get the emails from the town, I read the town website, I look on the public Facebook page, I don't read the happening, maybe that's where everything's happening, I don't know. But I think that it would be good if you had a clear policy of how you're going to post committee openings. I know when I was chosen for the hiring committee, it came through an email that the town was looking for people to serve on various committees and how to apply, and that's what I did. And now we have interviewed for a school committee fill-in that I didn't realize was open, and for ordinance review committee members. So I think it would just be nice to have a clearer path to know what's open and what the procedures are going to be for applying. Stevens, Little Acres Drive. I also sit on the hiring committee. Jessica has spoken very eloquently with how I feel about how the hiring committee has been used, and I just wanted to reiterate that I agree with everything she said. One thing, John, is you asked if we knew about any of the previous relationship of one of the applicants, and no, we did not. We were not made aware of any of that, so I just wanted to address that.
Would that have been any weight?
We shouldn't. No, go ahead.
So we shouldn't have that information as a hiring committee. I don't feel we need to be unbiased.
It's not confidential.
I think if I can find it on the internet, it's not. But we can agree to disagree there. But what I will say is, in order to be unbiased and be a screening committee, which is the function that we are being tasked with, we shouldn't necessarily be fed that information prior to meeting with candidates. What I will say is I trust this board to do your due diligence and know if that type of information exists and either vote or accordingly and be intentional about who you have us spend our time with, because that's potentially a waste of time of ours that we take away from other committees that we have in our regular day-to-day lives. So.
And my question is, why ain't there transparency amongst you guys? You don't answer any direct questions. You just smirk and look away. Why are there... There's no transparency here. You can't get information because it gets slid off the desk into the oval can. You can't get the information you need. You chase it for weeks until you get discouraged. Then you just say, you know what, the hell with it. Why is there no transparency? You guys, all of you, work for every one of us. You don't work amongst yourselves. You work for all of us. So why not be transparent? When you're asked a direct question, answer a direct question. You're an employer. You ask your employee a question. You're going to let them just walk away from you? You're going to demand an answer, especially if he's costing you money. You're costing us money. We're asking you direct questions. We deserve to get direct answers. That's my point. We've been beating a dead horse for months in here trying to get direct questions, answers from you guys, and we get none. We have to go find them on our own. And again, Stonewall. Why can't you be transparent? What do you have to hide? What are you guys hiding?
Does anybody else have any input? Brian.
Do you have an answer for my questions?
I certainly do.
Okay.
I was letting everybody else speak first. Okay. So anybody else have any input that they would like to put in? Okay. I will answer several of the questions. One to you, Jessica, on the FOIA request. If you call me tomorrow, the data is ready for you. I'd like to give it to you personally.
Sure.
All right. So, Brian Doolan, your post. Our zoning ordinance requires that any request for a contract zone must comply with a comprehensive plan, period. Our comp plan states, consider establishment of a low-density and medium-density rural zone. Lot density sizes between 2 to 5 acres should be considered to protect rural areas. 1 acre lot sizes should be considered near existing development in suitable areas. Bonnie Bay is proposing lot sizes of less than 1/3 acre. This is contrary to the minimum 1 acre lot size in the comp plan and should not be considered. There are other issues, but this one seems primary to me. Paul Harvey has the rest of the story.
Can you share what you're reading from?
That is a post on Lyman Happenings.
A private Facebook page.
Facebook page? What's that got to do with the hiring committee?
Yeah, I don't know what that is about the hiring committee.
Do I get to talk?
Go ahead.
Or is it a one-way street?
That seems like a one-way street.
Right.
Yeah, sure it does.
So that's where you think to write off that Facebook page. All right. So this is taken from the zoning ordinance for contract zoning. So the part that Brian typed at the top is correct, but there's the rest of the sentence. It says, areas rezoned under this provision shall be consistent with, but not limited to, incredibly important words that change the whole meaning of what you've been talking about. The rest of the story. Pay attention to the comprehensive plan and the zoning.
Would you like to see the question that he asked tonight?
I'm not talking to you right now.
Oh, no, I know you don't want to talk about that.
It says right in the comprehensive plan.
That question wasn't asked.
Okay.
It was not asked.
It's not limited to those articles.
Yeah.
All you're doing is causing trouble by telling a half-truth. That's why I did not vote for you to be on that committee.
That's probably more than a lot of people in the town have read the ordinances. At least I'm reading the ordinances.
But this is my time to do it. Thank you. I have one other one, and I want to read this, and we'll go from there. It's a Facebook post that says, Lee Schatz, my issue is I don't like shady people and liars. I'm a full disclosure kind of girl. Why talk about the possibilities for the school in a conceptual presentation to the townspeople when your intent is to sell? Why lie? Now everything that comes out of their mouths is suspect to me. I don't give a shit who owns what, but when you present a proposal to the townspeople and officials and then lie, embellish, or don't disclose, I'm 100% taking issue with that. My comment is this. We are appointing people to these committees to represent everybody in town. Sounds kind of one-sided.
Well, look,
that wasn't for me. Yeah, it wasn't from him. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Bill, it's really not one-sided because it is all for sale. So how is that one-sided? She spoke the facts. And it should be freedom of information. She should be able to express her opinion, her thoughts. It's Facebook.
Really, it's not a discussion period right now. Does anybody else have any input?
I have minds.
I got a question. Are we governing from Facebook? Are we making our decisions based on Facebook?
Apparently.
A private
You're
Facebook.
An HR. Correct.
I am an HR, and that is a privately run Facebook page. It is not a page of the town, and there is no policy dictating volunteer behavior. There's no code of ethics. There is no code of ethics currently in this town that anyone has signed.
And there's no HIPAA law.
HIPAA is not relevant.
Well, I know. I'm saying HIPAA is in the medical field.
Sorry, I was asking a question, so I'll stop.
Yeah, this is the input section. Does anybody else have any more input? Okay, thank you.
Regarding this topic or anything?
You probably have something you want to bring up. So
I sure do. I've been here several times. I'm Jeff Dewitt, and I live in Oakwood Trailer Park. And a couple weeks ago, I brought you some pictures of the junkyard going on across the street from me. I'm wondering if you shared them with everybody.
I did. And I'd like to read this. It's from code enforcement.
Okay.
Okay? All right. This is to the property owner on Basswood Street. And it says, I'm writing to inform you that I received a verbal complaint regarding your property last week from a park resident. The complaint was that junk is beginning to add up again on your property. I also received pictures of what appears to be your property with cars and various other junk at your property. The complaint was not from the person across the road. It was another park resident. I do not know who brought in the pictures. They were left at the town hall for me. Based upon those complaints, I drove by your property today and find these complaints to be valid. We went through a lot last year to get your property cleaned up. I know it was not a pleasant experience for you. I have to inform you that the town is not going to go through months of negotiating to get your property cleaned up. It then goes on to explain the junkyard definition and gives them 30 days to clean it up.
All right, at this point, we had already went through this one time to the point where you guys had a lawyer and you were going to take them to court. So what they did was cleaned up a little corner of the yard and took pictures and submitted them to you guys, and you dropped the ball. Why? I told you exactly what was going to happen. What happened? Are you going to drop the ball again, or are you going to make them clean the freaking thing up?
I would say that it's not going to get dropped this time.
Why'd you drop it last time?
Patty brought it to fruition.
It wasn't dropped.
Wasn't dropped. She brought it right to fruition.
Yeah, because we approved it as a board
that it was cleaned up.
Yeah.
By her taking pictures of this corner of the yard, what about the rest of it?
As far as I know, that was the whole
thing. Did any of you ever go up and look?
Yes, I did.
You did recently?
No.
Take a ride by recently, buddies.
No, I'll go back.
That's your job.
I got hung on that last year. I got charges put against me in an investigation on this by this board because they said I overstepped my authority by going up there and looking. So I'm sorry.
All right. But you guys, again, it's do your job like everybody's saying. We'll take a look at it and do something about it, please. Shouldn't have come to this point again.
It's back with the building inspector.
What?
It's back with the building inspector.
He's already there. Years.
Bill?
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Yes?
Just a question. Why was it overstepping his authority as a selectman? You all are. You're responsible for this town. You know the laws. You know the ordinances. You can go look at somebody's property. I mean, I don't like to bring this up. I was a selectman in a town in New Hampshire, and we had a junkyard problem. I mean, a real junkyard. And I went and looked at it a lot of times. Now, I don't know if the laws in Maine are different, but you people are the actual laws in this town. Well, not the exact laws, but you govern the laws. Why can't you go look at it?
There were some misstatements made about my involvement that triggered and the town spent hiring an attorney and having an investigation against me. It went that far.
Somebody must have hated you.
Yeah, true.
And to answer your question a little further, they went all through this to the point where they had a lawyer, they went and got a court date, and the person took pictures of the corner of the yard she cleaned up, presented it to these gentlemen, and they said, "I'll forget it."
Well, then it should have been somebody from the board or from the town to go look at it to see if it was true.
The code enforcement lady had been there several times. The temporary code enforcement had been up there. Everybody told them to clean it up. A lawyer sent them a letter saying, "Clean up your mess." It went that far, and then these guys dropped the ball last minute. They should have went to court because he told them what's going to happen, and that's what happened. More junk. You gave me a free pass to collect junk again. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. You got time for another comment? Go ahead.
I'd like to get an answer to this. Probably won't. What right does the board have to sanction another selectman in the first place? You didn't put him there, we did. So if any complaint should be driven or any punishment levied to any selectman, it should come from the people. I've found nothing that says that you have any authority to sanction a fellow equal member. And maybe I'm just looking in the wrong places, but I haven't found it. I mean, it's been bothering me ever since you guys did it. And I never understood why. So then, I have to go out and do my own research. I've not found one thing that gives you guys the authority to sanction an equal sitting on the same board. If it's there, I just need to know so I can go look for it.
I can tell you, governing by Facebook.
I just don't understand how you guys can sanction somebody.
Yep. Snicker, that's good.
All right.
Snicker, Dave.
Going on with the mail.
Terry Jo Sampson, I just moved here. Is this what happens all the time?
Yes.
This is disgusting.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
My welcome. Okay, thank you. Can I Can I just ask?
This is the small town. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Not my fault. Small town community. I keep reading about that people want to keep in this, and
we do want to keep it small. We want to
slip it away.
No, well, I'm telling you what, this isn't it.
Tell me about it.
I was just wondering if you could answer the question of how the volunteer positions are posted. I think we got away from that a little bit, and I didn't know if you could just clarify that.
Volunteer positions are normally posted on the website, and then we send them out by email.
To whom?
Anybody that we have their email address, we send out to. But I will tell you that we probably have 350 email addresses with over 4,000 parcels of property. So we would really like to have more email addresses.
So did you send that last one out then? Because honestly, I didn't get it. I wasn't trying to be wise when I asked the question. Like, I didn't see the charter ordinance review, and I see there's two more applicants, and I didn't know they'd gone out again, so. I'm on the email list because I get everything else that you guys send out.
I didn't get the email.
And do we have, is there a list of openings somewhere on the website or anywhere?
I would have to look.
And that would help. If there was a list of openings, then we'd know what was open.
I will look tomorrow. So do.
Thank you.
Do I get an answer, Bill, or?
I don't think so.
Okay, we have some mail.
Bill, do I get an answer?
You had your input, and we hear what you're saying. And you understand something. I'm not going to answer some things directly because I need to know what I can legally say without saying the wrong
thing. He's an elected official.
I realize that.
I'm just looking for...
I understand what you're asking.
Give me a statute. Something.
Are you all set?
Yep. The answer is he doesn't know.
We have some mail from Department of Transportation. Maybe this will change the subject. It says, Dear Mr. Nickel, I like the way it starts on dear. Please be advised that the speed zones described in the attached memorandum of South Waterboro Road in the town of Lyman have been approved. Those are not from our request. Within the next few weeks, weather dependent, Maine DOT personnel will remove any old signage and install the appropriate new signage associated with the changes detailed within the attached memoranda, since this roadway is considered a state aid road. The official speed zones have been established as 40 miles per hour and 45 miles per hour. Should you have any questions, call 855-7000.
I got a question about South Waterboro Road.
Go ahead, John.
And I guess it's to Brad. We talked briefly about potholes, and they've done some of them working their way towards Waterboro. Have they had a chance to get back to that?
No. There's other towns that are worse than us, John, and they have to prioritize.
Yeah, oh, I understand that.
And just so everybody's clear, the speed limit is presently 35 miles an hour from Route 35 to Huff Road, and that is now going up to 40, just so everybody knows.
Okay. We have the minutes of the February 22nd meeting. Makes a motion to accept the minutes. Rusty seconds it. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, that getting put on the website. I still talked about.
Did what put on the website?
The expense report.
Title 36, Chapter 908, regarding the state property tax deferral program.
Everything.
Yep.
Good, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, speaking of being posted.
Can we finish?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Just the way my brain works.
So on the minutes for the meeting of February 22nd, all those in favor, 5-0, thank you. Go ahead, John.
I've had a couple of people, every time I see them, they wanted the warrant articles, the expenses we vote on, posted. And we used to. And they keep asking me why we're not. And I said, if I can remember it, and I've been told this several times, and this is the first time remembering it, to get it to you guys.
I believe approved warrant articles are posted on the website. When they're approved, they get posted, not before.
We used to have them posted here in Town Hall before they were approved, I believe. The financial articles we vote on.
Our expense report is posted.
They're on the website.
On the website.
All right. This person is between computers right now that keeps asking, so I will tell them that.
Okay. We have an accounts payable warrant, number 43 for 2022, in the amount of $596,607.63.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion? All those in favor? 5-0. Thank you. Payroll warrant number 44 in the amount of $20,201.10. Discussion? All those in favor? 5-0. Thank you. We have a form that needs to be filled out for digital storage from Iron Mountain. I need to get it filled out and sent back to them so they can give us a quote on digitizing our records and copy machines, etc. Okay, ARPA user roles. There's three basic user roles for the ARPA committee to have this in place to deal with the funding. I'm going to read the three categories, we just need to know who's going to do what. So we have the account administrator as the administrator role of maintaining the names and contact information of the designated individuals for reporting. The account administrator is responsible for making any changes or updates to the user roles as needed over the award period. We recommend that the account administrator identify an individual to serve in his or her place in the event of staff changes. We then have the point of contact for reporting is the primary contact for receiving official Treasury notifications about reporting, including alerts about upcoming reportings, requirements and deadlines, and is responsible for completing reports. Then we need an authorized representative for reporting. This person is responsible for certifying and submitting official reports on behalf of the recipient. Treasury will accept reports or other official communications only when submitted by the authorized representative for reporting. They have a comment here which I think is kind of appropriate. The same person can serve all three roles. They say it's wise to have at least two with the authorization. So I need some direction as to who would be responsible for each of these so that we can put that forth in the correct channel.
think Jeanette should be considered for all three. Maybe have Sue as backup. It's a suggestion.
Jeanette's all you see.
Oh, yeah, she's been deep into this.
Is that a motion?
No.
No, so we're just looking right now for some discussion, and so we have some input on it, and then we can decide who to do.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Do you think Sue is a good alternate then?
Yeah, I would think so. I'm not familiar with... I'm familiar with her, but I'm not. I haven't had any contact or interaction with the lady that works with her. But as far as that might be a good choice also.
Yeah. Well, since we've started with the ARPA, Jeanette's been the point of contact.
Right.
But so that's a logical route to go.
Right. The only reservation I guess I'd have, we're into budget season now, and she's busy, and as I understand it. Town of Dayton's between treasurers, so she's got to do the fire department duties, right? So, we're loading her up pretty good. You're right, it makes sense, but...
I think it's all set in place.
Okay.
So,
I'm not privy to it.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty well set in place. It's just that we need to have a decision who's going to be responsible and who would be the backup for that. So if you want to make a motion, I think that would be appropriate.
All right. I would move that our treasurer is the lead person on this, and our tax collector would be the support person on this.
That's fine.
With their permission. If they're agreeable, I'm sorry. If the aforementioned people were agreeable, I think those would be. Thank you.
Yeah. I know somebody come up with that. Okay. So was there a second?
Yeah.
Okay. Any more discussion? All those in favor? Thank you. I thought this was kind of interesting tonight to have Shelley here from Charter and want to talk about putting together the franchise agreement. And we have an invoice here from somebody that's been working on it for 5 years.
Wasn't he supposed to show up tonight? Didn't we ask him?
I thought that was the deal. But,
all right.
The invoice amount for from 2017 through 2022. It's $528.02.
And I think the discussion was before we paid and we wanted to talk to him. Am I remembering that correctly?
That is correct. That is
correct. Has anybody reached out to him?
Jeanette did.
Bill, how many towns does he represent?
Tony?
Yeah.
I really don't
know. He represents all the towns that did a service inspector, isn't he? Didn't they hire him back, 10 or 10 years ago, and he's been in that realm ever since then?
We wanted to talk to him.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he represents. It was a joint agreement between all the towns that he represented from Spectrum, that represents Spectrum, and he was dealing with Spectrum for all the towns. That's why they hired him. I guess not just talking for us. Am I wrong, John?
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't dispute that at all.
No, but I'm just saying.
We just wondered.
A little history of what took place. That's why.
Yeah.
You know.
So we'll put that on for the next agenda, see if we can go there. Okay, Oscar Littlefield Road. Bear with me. So Robert Schultz is one of the homeowners on Oscar Littlefield, and he sent back an email today that there were 23 requests for the easements. 10 of them have been received. He says 5 of them are promised this week. 1 of them is promised date unknown, and then they have 5 that they've had no contact with at all. So I guess it's making progress, and we've got to do a little more time.
I hit down two. I hit down two 5 years ago.
Well, I realize that. I realize. And we still have those 2 a year.
Yeah, I know. I believe that. I believe
so out of those 10, have they replied yes or no?
He just said that he had received them. He had received the signed easements.
Oh, so they signed them?
Yes.
Okay, so there's 10 that are signed.
Yep. And he said he's got 5 promised this week. So that's 15. He says 1 promised date unknown. And then he has 5 that he has had no contact over the winter.
So are you going to go to court? If you don't get these all these injuries, are you going to go to court? Is that your next move? What's he told you for your next move?
If we get down to where there's just 2, then we'll have a discussion as to the route we want to go.
So you don't know what you're going to do?
No decision has been made.
Okay. How are you doing?
Anybody have any questions on that?
I do.
Okay.
If we don't have all our ducks in a row by the time town meeting comes around, it won't get done next year because there'll be no budget made for it. Just putting it out there. I'm not going to put a budget out there for the taxpayers on a job that isn't going to be done. I can't, in all good faith. So there'd be another year that it wouldn't happen.
Well, let's see where it goes. He's been working on it pretty diligently.
Been working on it for 20 years.
Little Acres Drive's been worked on for many, many years. It's still not done. So it's...
Okay. The treasurer expense report is posted on the website. We have gotten that report. New business. Plowing contract. I'm not sure if we're ready to do much with any of these, but they're on here. Yes, John.
There was some discussion about putting them all out to bid. Has that decision been made yet?
There hasn't been a decision made on that. When I have a chance, I plan to try to put some documents together for that, so that if that's what we do, we can do it.
Okay. So what I was trying to get at with so motion doesn't sound like it's appropriate this time.
Well, I think what the discussion was going to be is when we get all our paperwork ready to go, we will have a discussion and decide which direction to go.
Okay. All right. I understand.
And that was the same with the mowing contract and the striping proposal. The field use request, I don't know why that's on here. That's just a normal application. There's nothing to do with ordinance review at this time anyway.
The striping is usually pretty time sensitive.
I realize it is. Was that an expiring contract?
No, it was just a new unsolicited email proposal.
Okay.
Not by a virtual.
Yes. But one that we've used before.
For the crosswalks?
Yeah.
What were you doing? Still doing the road for me?
Yeah.
All right. And he brought you something major planning, right?
Yeah.
That
I guess the only concern I have is to fill out quick and
I realize that, but I mean, if they're still under contract,
I don't believe they have.
Zebra typically is the only one that's been bidding it, Bill.
Yeah.
And they use the main regional pricing, just like Poirier does for our main road striping.
Just want to piggyback on that.
Yeah.
Yep. What do you guys want to do?
Is it appropriate to get a recommendation from the road commissioner? Ask anybody who wants to go on it.
If you want to put an RFP out there, it's a proper way to do it. We'll see what we get. But it is time sensitive. It really is, because these guys are already filling up. So it's March. Put one out there. Should be able to grab the same RFP that we've always used.
You're going to write it up?
It should already be one done.
What is
it? I move that we do an RFP for our strike.
Yeah, what's the cost?
Eight. Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor? 5-0.
I don't even need an RFP.
Okay.
I got one more question. Plowing contract. That's not road plowing. That's our parking lot and so forth, right? I think we have extensions.
We can.
I think we signed a 5-year with Mr. Corey.
With the snow plowing?
Yes, sir.
Are we in the last year of that snow plowing?
I have it in the packets. I was told to pull the last ones that we had and the addendums that we had and put them in your packets. That's under new business. I was told to put them there.
Here is file salting.
Town hall.
Here's town hall.
I think there's 2 years left on Paul's contract.
Yeah, and I think there's two.
Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, so we're fine with him. I was just trying to clarify what we were doing.
I thought somebody said we were the last year, but it's not.
No.
Okay. So the Massabesic Little League Softball League is asking to use the ball field at Bunganut Park, Bunganut Ball Field, they use it for both.
Yeah.
Baseball and softball, yeah.
Yeah, so there definitely is one they have called for area where I read on Facebook once more.
So this is pretty much 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to dusk, and 5 p.m., 8 a.m. to dusk, on Saturday, Sunday, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to dusk, April, May, and June. Says I will provide game schedule as soon as determined. Practice schedule will be provided on a week bi-weekly basis to provide accurate schedule throughout the season. They used it last year, and it really wasn't any issue whatsoever. And they work well with soccer.
And the only question I had, do we ask them for any contribution for upkeep?
They usually make a contribution. We don't have to ask them.
All right, perfect.
They usually just make one.
All right.
Last year, they donated $1,500.
Okay. Would rise in costs and everything, is that acceptable, do you think?
Anything they offer, I'd like to get, you know.
Well,
but
that area of Bunganut, just my opinion, we ought to try to get a little revenue source out of that. Costs us a lot to maintain it. I mean, it's a beautiful facility. We've spent a lot of money improving it. It's a better facility. You know, your fence now, you're safe.
When I talk with the president, I'll mention it.
Please.
Yep.
I mean, what do you guys think?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so the soccer league also donates.
Right. I know they do. Yeah, I know they. I wasn't familiar with these guys.
Okay. So we do have. I need somebody to make a motion for that. If you could, yeah.
I think most people are in executive session.
Well, on the whole business, I'd like to discuss when we stand with David at the transfer station. Before you go by here. I mean, we left it, we were looking at some of that stuff. And I looked into some of my stuff, and I can't get a job coach for him unless he's offered a job position after the job coach goes with him for a period of time. That's the only way the state's getting money to do that. So if you're going to require a job coach, I'm going to have to pay for it. Or something like that. If you don't want to wait up there,
Can we discuss that in a few minutes?
Okay.
Can you come into the executive session and we can discuss that?
Yep.
All right. Have we got an MSRA number?
I probably don't. Not for that.
Do I have to get leave, can I say?
Just stay, Morris.
Okay.
Go ahead. Just do that. So you also... In a personnel matter.
Yeah, qualify it.
Yes.
Yeah, call it, please. Thank you.
All right, I make motion to go into executive session, Title 1 MRSA, Section 405-6C, reason real or personal property attached to real property or interest therein in premature disclosure with prejudice, competitive or bargaining position of the municipality and personal matters.
Yep. Dave, second it. All those in favor? John? No?
I'm going to vote against it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Just for the important question.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, well.
No,
they're
the only
ones.
We don't have
an
MSRA.
I just did.
Okay, you're going to be around for a few minutes?
I can.
You're going to be very short.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Morris, give us 5 minutes.
Okay.
Please.
I'm going to come back into the session.